In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My father worked on Wall Street for quite a few years, and we lived in New Jersey, and he had to take a couple of trains to arrive downtown Manhattan. One occasion, he's waiting for one of the connections at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and one of the trains arrived, and it wasn't his, and some man rushed into the train, and my father put his hand in the pocket, and his wallet wasn't there. But he saw the guy, so he grabbed the guy, and he tried to pull him out of the train to get his wallet. But the doors closed, and he ended by ripping half the guy's shirt off. So he didn't get his wallet. So he finally got on the train that was his, which was the following train, and it took him downtown, and he was really worried because without his wallet he didn't have all of his documents, so he thought he'd call my mom, and he called my mom and he said, "Joan, you'll never guess what happened downtown this morning." And she said, "I don't know what happened, but you left your wallet in the dresser." Good story, huh? There was a priest that came into the new parish and the microphone wasn't working. And he started off the mass saying, "There's something wrong with the microphone." The people said, "And also with you." Talking a little bit about sports when I was having breakfast with some of the men, I heard a story of these two old-timers, both good Catholics that were professional baseball players. They're both in their 90s. And they were asking, "Is there baseball in heaven?" And one said no, the other one said yes. So within a week, the older one, who was 95 years old, passed away. So the following day, his companion was praying, and his deceased friend appeared to him and said, "Good news and bad news. Good news is that there is baseball in heaven. Bad news is that you're pitching tonight." I have a degree in English literature, philosophy, theology, and jokeology. No? It's a good degree, isn't it? Okay, so today I'd like to give you a talk in honor of Saint Joseph, who is the model of men along with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of course. And what I'm going to do, being an old teacher, I'm going to be giving you an acronym. And it's going to be the 7 M's of really becoming a holy man in imitation of St. Joseph. So I'm going to give you 7 specific ideas that hopefully you'll be able to pray over in honor of St. Joseph and incorporate these ideas into your life. So let's start. The first M. is start off your day with morning prayer. Saint Joseph was a man of deep prayer. And none of us are going to have depth in our spiritual life if we do not take seriously cultivating a deep prayer life. Now, what type of prayer will you say? Well, I really believe, some of you heard my homily this morning, starting off with the Blessed Mother. And I believe that the Blessed Mother, as well as Saint Joseph, would like all of us to show our consecration to both of them by wearing the scapular. Last year was Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared October 13th. Our Lady appeared. Saint Joseph appeared with the baby Jesus in his arms. And Our Lady of Mount Carmel appeared. So I invite all of you, if you don't already have a scapular, try to get a scapular. The scapular is the external sign of consecration to Mary. And you say your act of consecration to Mary, and you kiss the scapular. The scapular was made by my mother. It's nice and durable. Inside is the miraculous medal and the medal of Saint Benedict. So I'm protected by the enemy that is trying to destroy the world through men, through family men, through priests, through bishops. The devil is after us, ruthlessly trying to get us to fall. So take your scapular when you wake up and you kiss it. That's a sign of your love for the Blessed Mother. And you take your scapular, you can actually bless your mind, bless your eyes, bless your lips, bless your tongue. I bless my tongue 3 times because I'm one of those non-stop talkers. And bless your heart. So, morning prayer. And as the Curia of Ars, St. John Maria Vianney says, those who begin well the day will finish it well. You want to start your day with God. Otherwise, you're going to be launching yourself into one of the biggest heresies in the United States. It's called activism or horizontalism, or one of the popes called it Americanism. I call it also Marthaism. Remember Martha, Martha, Martha?
Yes.
We work so hard that we forget that our work is not an end in itself. The purpose of our life, according to St. Ignatius, is for us to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and to save our soul. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the first M. St. Joseph was a man of constant prayer. He would start off his day giving himself to God so that he could serve his wife, Mary, and his son, Jesus Christ. Second M. Now the second M, I think, is very important that all of you meditate upon it and examine your own conscience in your life, how you live this out. and it's meal time. Meal time. You want to bless your meal. But also you want to bless your meal. How many here are fathers? Any grandfathers here? Good. You know that the most important family time for you should be your meal time. And we have to rediscover that. I was born in the mid-50s. Some of you, maybe of my vintage, no? I was born in the mid-50s. We would always, I'm, you know, one of nine, so I'm a pretty big family. No? We would always have meals together. Dad would come back from Wall Street, usually about 6 o'clock, he'd look at the bills, and 6:15, we would sit down and we would bless the meals. So by blessing the meals, you're inviting God to sit down at the table. Now that's something that's being lost in the modern, secular, materialistic, consumeristic society in which we live. We're forgetting to permeate our daily existence with the presence of God. Saint Joseph was constantly aware of God's presence, and he lived with God until he passed away, because he lived with Jesus Christ. Now, at the meal time, I'm going to make a suggestion that's going to be maybe very countercultural, but I think that this countercultural exhortation, if I can use that word, would be heeded by many wise men that are here. And it's this. At the mealtime, no electronic gadgets are going to be used or present at the mealtime. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Amen? Or is that an oh me? Glad I heard most of you say amen and not oh me. Because that's the time when you want to connect with your wife, your teenage son, your teenage daughter, maybe your grandchild. That's the prime time in which you're going to connect. Maybe some of you have seen this, the comic strip. It's a comic strip, but it's not very comical. It's really more like a Shakespearean tragedy more than a Shakespearean comedy. On a sofa, you got the husband, the wife, the daughter, the son, and the pet dog. The husband is watching the football game. The wife is on her tablet. The daughter is on her cell phone sending a text message to her boyfriend. The son is on the cell phone looking at something not very good. And the dog has the earphones on, listen to the Beatles. We laugh at that, but that's modern life. Is that we live together with respect to proximity or touching each other's elbows, maybe breathing down each other's necks, but we're not connecting emotionally. Therefore, I'm preaching more and more in some of my masses, my conferences, the importance of reconnecting with our family through valuing the daily meal time. There have been studies by sociologists, and these are some of the findings. Teenage boys that have a meal with their family at least 3 or 4 times a week. Better grades in school. Better performance in sports. Less problems with depression. Higher grades. Less tendency to delinquency. And the sociologists come to the conclusion is because they're communicating with their parents 3 to 4 times a week. Very interesting. This is a sociological study, even aside from the religious. You know, the teenager that scares me most is the one that is non-communicative. He's morose, he's sullen, he's sad, he's depressed, he's locked up in his room with his electronics world, basically living in a world of fantasy. And even though he seems to hide his emotional life, there's a lot going on. And a lot of things that are going on are not good. So I urgently appeal to you, try to establish family time every day. The younger generation has lost this. Those were, when I was brought up and raised, those were some of the happiest moments when I was growing up. Because my parents decided to have that as a priority. We would talk about sports, politics, religion, current events. And my father loved to tell stories and he liked to joke around with us. That's why you men, you have to learn how to tell at least one joke. Okay? I've already given you a couple, right? You can revamp them, you can embellish them, you can use them, author's permission, okay? Do you listen to me?
Yes.
Do you believe that that's important?
Yes.
And St. Joseph would sit down with Mary and Jesus every night after a long day, and they would communicate. One of the Ignatian exercises is to try to imagine a typical night at Nazareth, sitting down at the table with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and there's a fourth chair, and that's for you. Try to imagine a typical night at dinner with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. that catapults the saints into ecstasy, just the thought of that. Last night, in preparation for this talk, I did something that I'd never done before, but I thought I'd just do something a little different to get myself into the mood for this talk. And I did say my prayers, but so I'm going to say, don't be scandalized. I listened to a rock and roll classic that came out about 1970. Can I tell you the song? You listening?
Yes.
Harry Chafin, The Cat in the Cradle. How many have ever heard it? How many? Harry Chafin, The Cat in the Cradle? What do you think? Sing it. Okay, I'll give you a summary of it. What you have is, you have a son that's singing to his father. Starts off where the son is born, and he's learning to speak, and he's learning to walk, but the father's too busy. And the second verse is, he's playing baseball, and he's got his glove and his ball, and he asks the father to play with him, play catch with him. His father's too busy. The third verse is, he's graduating from college, okay? He graduated from college, and now the father asks to speak to him, and he asks the father for the keys, please. And then the last verse is, the son is out of the house, married, and the father calls him and says, I'd like to be with you, and he says, the kids have the flu, and I'm too busy. And sorry, Dad, sometime later. It's a tearjerker. See what happened there? It's a vicious circle. The first part is the son tries to connect with the father. Then the son, who's already a young adult, is too busy to connect with his father. And it's a vicious circle that's going to be repeating itself. So one of the purposes of my talk is that we have to break that cycle. Now, if some of you are out of the habit, in which maybe because of busyness of life, or your teenagers don't want to have the mealtime together, you as the father, you have to call the shots. You are the spiritual leader of your family. Amen?
Amen?
Saint Joseph was the spiritual leader of his family. When Jesus was found, Mary said, your father and I have been searching for you. Put Saint Joseph first and then Mary second, even though she is greater, of course. But the great respect that Mary had for Saint Joseph. You have to call the shots. And if you like, start with a prayer and then just ask your teenage son, be very simple. How did your day go and how are you feeling now? You hear me? Be as simple as that. And he's going to open up. Maybe he's not very talkative, but at least you're going to be breaking the ice. Then your little one, you say, and she's going to be speaking 25 minutes, okay? But those 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, those should be the most important moments of your family life during the week. And I'm almost sure that if you're to communicate this new innovation to your wife, she'd probably be doing cartwheels. Right? I know women. Women, they want to communicate. If you were to say that, well, she might have a heart attack, no? You call 911 and resuscitate her and then try to do it the following day, okay? So mealtime. Mealtime is very important. And let me tell you something. I'll speak from my own experience. I'm from one of nine, so I probably come from a bigger family than most of you. You want to connect with your kids also? Especially men. Play with them. Even your teenagers. You know what I would do as a teenager when I was, a sophomore, junior, and senior in high school? After dinner? If you don't have this, you might do this. Buy a ping pong table. Any of you know how to play ping pong? So after dinner, we go down and we play ping pong. So my parents had, this is the order of the family. Boy, 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 girl. The first girl, her name is Victoria. Hey, finally a girl, no? So we would go down in the basement and we'd play ping pong. We'd play doubles. And those were among the happiest moments I remember as a teenager. Which my father taught all of us, but he saw himself being eclipsed by all of us. Which we were able to beat him. Once he went on a business trip and he was playing ping pong and all of his colleagues were praising themselves because they're the best ping pong players in town, and my father cleaned their clocks because they're playing with four boys that were very competitive. So you want to connect with your kids? Have meal time and some type of play with them. Even other teenagers. See, we have to learn how to connect with God, St. Joseph, but we have to learn how to connect with others. In starting with our own family. Do any of you know what is called the Rip Van Winkle complex? You ever read Rip Van Winkle? I call it the Rip Van Winkle complex. It's this. You are the best man in town to your neighbor, but you come home and your family is in a disaster. Can't be that way. Charity begins at home, right? So outside home, you're Mr. Charismatic. You're all smiles. You're always ready to serve. But you come home and the family's in shambles. Can't be that way. I love Proverbs. One of my favorite proverb is in Spanish, and some of you speak a little bit of Spanish. Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Anyone speak Spanish? It's a great one, isn't it? What it means is you're a light or a candle outside, but oscuridad, what's that?
Darkness.
Darkness in la casa. So outside, you're a bright light. But you come back, and you're darkness. I call that the Rip Van Winkle complex. So we have to be soldiers, generals forming our army within the barricades of the four walls of your family.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You can do it. And start with something small. But you have to tell your family members, look, no TV, radio, tablet, iPhone, for 20, 25 minutes. What do you think?
Yes.
You know, last summer I went home. My father passed away about a year ago. And about two summers ago, one of my younger brothers, he already has eight children, he come from a pretty big family, has a big home in New Hampshire. And he's got about, I think he's got about 5 or 6 acres and tennis courts, and he's got a boat. So it's almost like a resort area. He invited all of us there. My parents have 39 grandchildren, so it's a huge family. But when I was there, and I go once a year because I'm on the West Coast, and most of them live in New Hampshire. I have a brother who's a back surgeon in Orlando, so we all came. And I was surprised that none of the grandchildren or my siblings had a cell phone. And most of them, one's a back surgeon, another one's a CEO, they're all pretty well educated, well off, no? And I was thinking, why don't they have a cell phone? My brother said, I purposely made that the rule of this picnic. No one is going to have a cell phone so that we can all connect. Amen?
Amen.
And my youngest sister pulled out the cell phone and he rebuked her. That was going to ruin it. So in honor of St. Joseph, in honor of being the real man of the house, you have to have a connection with God. But you have to have a connection also with your family. Talk to God. Talk to your family. And also learn how to listen. I think all of you are going to be able to do this. Tell me, all of you, how many words you record of St. Joseph in the Bible. Tell me all the verses you have of the words of St. Joseph in the Bible. Very interesting. I've often thought about that. St. Joseph is the greatest saint. You know that St. Joseph is the greatest saint in the Catholic Church by far because of his mission. Father of the Son of God and spouse of the Mother of God. What a sublime mission. We don't have one word of St. Joseph. What does that teach us? He was a man who would listen to God, listen to his wife, and listen to his children. You have to do the same. You have to listen to God. You have to listen to your wife. You have to learn how to listen to your children. You know, in Spanish they say, escucha, pero no entender. Very interesting. You can listen, but maybe not understand. The listening has to be also understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we've got to move on, otherwise we're going to be here until 12 o'clock, huh? We have to get through some of the other M's, right? So the third M is to meditate on the Word of God. How are we going to know God if we never meditate upon the Word of God? So in 3.5 weeks, we'll be into Lent. The Church strongly recommends that we always read the Word of God, but especially in the holy season of Lent. Have any of you ever heard of the Vatican II documents? Okay. Okay, the Vatican II document, there are four dogmatic constitutions and 16 documents. And the four dogmatic constitutions are the most important documents with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the last 60 years of the Church. So if we really want to know our Church, we should know Vatican II. One is De Verbum, which means Word of God, in which the Council Fathers quote St. Jerome. And listen to what St. Jerome teaches us. Ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So all of us, in imitation of Saint Joseph, should meditate, at least for a short time, on the Word of God. That's why I invite you to come to the Spiritual Exercises program in St. Peter Chanel next, starting next Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday, because it's 10 weeks in which you're going to be meditating upon the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Related to that document is a document written by Pope Benedict XVI. It is Verbum Domine. That's Latin for the Word of God. Which Pope Benedict XVI gives us a method that we can use to really go deep into the Word of God. And it's called Lectio Divina. Have any of you ever heard of Lectio Divina? It's a method. So you have the Word of God, and He gives you these words. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio. How's your Latin? Más o menos, huh?
Más o menos.
Lectio, read the Word of God. Meditatio, meditate on it, like Mary who pondered the Word of God in her heart. Contemplatio, contemplate. Imagine that you're there, sitting at the table with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Oratio, talk. Talk to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Actio, action, put it into practice. Mary meditated upon the Word of God, then she went to Elizabeth to bring the riches of the Word of God. I add one more, it's not in the document, but hopefully Pope Benedict XVI will forgive me. Transformatio. What is that?
Transform.
Transformation. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me, as St. Paul says. Amen?
Amen?
No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Let's move on. We've arrived at the fourth M. One of my favorites. And Gil mentioned it at the very beginning, the introduction. But I'd like to reiterate it. And it's this. Mass. Holy Mass. Holy Mass. What is the greatest action you can do on planet Earth? You said it. Say it a little bit louder.
Receive communion.
Receiving Holy Communion, you hit the nail on the head. The greatest action that can be carried out on planet Earth is to go to Mass and to receive Holy Communion. I'm sure all of you go to Mass on Sunday. Why not, as we start a new year, we're only 20 days into the new year, in a couple of weeks, we'll be into Lent, why not decide to try to go to daily Mass as often as you can? Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to give you a very simple analogy. Don't look down upon me because it's so simple. We'll try to get the gist of my message. How many of you, if I were to tell you, tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock, if you came to St. Peter Chanel and Wine Guards, you have to travel half an hour. If you came at 3 o'clock in the morning and you shook my hand, I would give you $10 billion. How many would come? Those who did not raise your hand don't understand English, right? How many people, if I were to tell them, I would say, celebrate the Mass at 3 o'clock in the morning, they would come? Nobody. Isn't that sad? Because for the money,
you're there.
Take the money and run, huh? But for the most sublime action in the whole world, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, if I can use these words in English, flippant, nonchalant, lackadaisical. In other words, taking it for granted. You know, I know a woman, lives in another part of the country, traveled 30, 35 miles -5 degrees below zero. The woman is 87 years old to go to daily Mass. The name of that woman is Joan Broome. Know who that is? It's my mother. 87 years old, traveling 30 miles, 5 degrees. Why does she do that? Do you think she's crazy? She loves the Mass. She has a priest. She has a son who's a priest. That's me. She cannot live without the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen?
Amen.
Cannot live without the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's why when I talked with Gil, he said, Father, you can start off by celebrating the Holy Mass for these good people. It filled with me with so much joy. And I knew that this conference was going to be a huge success, not because of me, but because of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen?
Amen.
If we start with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I receive the body and blood of Christ, you do, we're gangbusters. We're filled with God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the love of the heart of Jesus Christ. Did you know that having a heart transplant is not that easy? Not that easy? But did you know that you can have a spiritual heart transplant every day? Every time you receive Holy Communion, it's a spiritual heart transplant because you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? And the most noble organ in the human person is the heart. You're receiving the sacred heart of Jesus Christ every time you receive the Holy Eucharist. That's why Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. Do you love your family?
Amen.
Do you?
Yes.
You know, the greatest thing you can do for your wife and your children and your grandchildren is to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Now I'm going to betray my age. 6 years ago, I celebrated my Silver Jubilee. You know what that is? I celebrated my 25th anniversary as a priest, almost 7 years ago. So I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. I was ordained in 1986 by St. John Paul II. So John Paul II placed his hands on my head. I have holy hair. Holy hair. So when I'm going out the door, don't cut my hair, please. When I celebrated my 25th anniversary in the parish, I had two masses. One maybe about 1,000 people, Hispanics. We have a lot of Hispanics. And English maybe a little bit less because I wanted to celebrate a mass so my parents could understand what was going on. And I received a lot of gifts. You know my favorite gift? It was a little piece of paper about a third this size. And it was an envelope. And I opened it up. And I read just a few words. For your 25th anniversary, I had 25 masses celebrated for you for every year. And below, love, Mom. There's a holy woman, huh?
Yes.
So if I'm able to do any good, it's not because of any of my innate goodness, but I have a lot of masses offered for me. So if I'm able to touch any of you with a word, a gesture, whatever, a story, it's not me. It's so many people praying, offering the body and blood of Christ so that I'll be able to touch people and bring them closer to eternal salvation. And what I desire more than anything else is to save souls. Amen?
Amen?
Save souls. It's the only thing that matters. What does St. Ignatius say? Long life, short life, health, sickness, riches, poverty, honors, humiliation, doesn't matter. What's important is that we get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Better move on, otherwise we're not going to get that to the other M's, right? Fifth M. You listening?
Yes.
It's this. Receive God's mercy. Receive God's mercy. Be merciful. And be a channel of mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Receive God's mercy. First you have to receive it. That's the proper order. Receive God's mercy. And you're called also to be merciful. And you're called to be the incarnation of God's mercy. How is that going to be done? Various ways. When I'm doing weddings, I do a lot of them, I say, and the bride and the bridegroom are listening to me and the guests, do you know the best beauty parlor in the whole world? You're looking, what? The best beauty parlor in the whole world is the confessional. Amen?
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 Amen.
So outside, you're dirty, your hair is disheveled, got a lot of pimples. That's called sin. And when you leave, you're white as the snow. So if you want to be a true man of God in honor of St. Joseph, you have to recognize that God loves you. He loves you through mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is the love of God forgiving us. Let me tell you the two most important things I say every day. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. And I absolve you of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I did not give you general absolution. Yeah, I saw some of you making the sign of the cross. Okay. So mercy. And in your families, you have to learn how to forgive. What rents asunder so many families is a lack of forgiveness, which leads to anger. Anger to resentment. Resentment to a cold silence, a cemetery silence. And eventually to hatred. And then separations. That's the way the devil works. The devil works that way. I don't know if any of you like poetry. Studied English Lit before becoming a priest. Alexander Pope. To err is human, to forgive is divine. I love that. To err, which means to make a mistake, is human. We all make mistakes. To forgive is divine. Amen?
Amen.
But above and beyond Alexander Pope, we have Jesus and the cross. Father, forgive them. Can you finish it? You've heard that before. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And the Our Father, what do we pray? Forgive us. You didn't want to finish it, did you, huh? There was a certain resistance on your tongue, huh? There's an interior bondage. No, we have to say, forgive us our trespasses as
we forgive those trespasses.
So if we want to be forgiven, then we got to forgive. Your wife bothers you, forgive her. Your son drives you nuts, which, you know, you're making you lose your hair, forgive. Forgiveness, when you forgive, you're freeing the sinner. Jesus said, quoting Isaiah, I've come to set the captives free. And who is that captive? You are that captive. You're a slave of your own lack of forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Sixth M. You probably noticed that Pope Francis, a real blessing from God to have this Pope, pray for his mission in Peru and Chile. It's a very tense situation, But he's doing a great job. Keep praying for him.
Yes.
Do any of you know the first encyclical of Pope Francis? The Joy of the Gospel. Excellent. I'm spending a whole year going through it in Spanish Wednesday morning with a group of our parishioners. Love the document. You know what it is? It's a missionary document. It's a missionary document. And what the Pope is saying, now more than ever, we got to be on the move. If you have received God into your heart, you have to give God to others. But you have to do it with a smile on your face. The Argentinians say, cara de vinagre, vinegar face. Huh? You have to be a missionary. Next time you have a meeting, bring someone.
Amen.
Every time you have a new meeting, you have to bring more men. Next time we have a conference, we should have double the number. Because each of one of you should pray first to St. Joseph, then bring someone else. When I was a child, 80% of Catholics went to Mass. Now it's only 20%. As we say in New York, there's something rotten in Denmark. Yeah? Ever hear that expression? Something rotten in Denmark. Something wrong. It's up to us to bring people back. I'm going to say something shocking. The biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. That's the biggest group. You walk down the street and knock on doors. What religion are you? Catholic. Do you go to church? No. Family after family after family. Non-practicing Catholics, it's up to you to bring them back. Amen?
Amen.
Do any of you know the last words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of St. Matthew? No, Father, we're not Protestants. Okay, well, I heard you. But Catholics should know the Bible too, right? I heard you saying, well, no, Father, we wouldn't know. We're not Protestants, okay? Well, Catholics should know the Bible too, right? You can let those Protestants beat you out? No. You'd be spiritually competitive, huh? They are. Jesus says, go out to the whole world. Teach them all that I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm with you always until the end of time. So as sons of St. Joseph, as sons of God, as sons of Holy Mother Church, I'm going to challenge you. Pray over today. Who is the person that you can bring back to the church? You all know someone that's drifted away, right?
Yes.
Either a family member, or a colleague at work, or an associate, or a cousin. Who knows? Maybe he's never going to come back because you don't invite him. How did Peter come to meet Jesus? We saw that in the past couple of weeks. Did someone invite Peter? His brother Andrew. It was the gospel last Sunday. Andrew and John met Jesus. Andrew could not keep it to himself. He runs to Peter and says, we found the Messiah. Come on. Peter follows. Jesus sees him and says, you're Cephas. You're Peter. You're no longer going to be called Cephas, you're Peter, because on you I'll build my church. When that came, because of the joy of the gospel. The joy of Andrew. He was so joyful to meet the Lord. He couldn't keep it to himself. You should be experiencing the same joy. Mass, fellowship, camaraderie, a talk by a priest. You should be filled with joy. And you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to give it to others. Pope Francis, in the Joy of the Gospel, says that the biggest tragedy is that we give food to the poor, but we don't give them the Word of God. That's the biggest tragedy. We fill their stomachs. We have to do that. But filling their stomachs is not enough. We've got to fill their minds, their hearts, and their souls with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We've arrived, believe it or not, at the seventh M. And all of you are probably going to speculate what it's going to be, because you happen to have a priest here who's the oblate of the Virgin Mary. Some of you heard my homily, huh? I think most of you know what I'm going to be talking about. The seventh M is love for Mary. Amen?
Amen.
Love for Mary. About 3 years ago, the ISIS was very active in a country where we have priests. In Nigeria. It's called Boko Haram. Is that the way it's pronounced? Boko Haram would be the ISIS that you have in Africa. And what was happening was they were plundering churches, abducting girls, burning churches, hurting innocent people. And this is what happened. One of the bishops in Nigeria was worried about this situation. And he's praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. All of a sudden he saw Jesus Christ dressed in white. And as he looked at Jesus, he noticed something very interesting. Jesus had a sword. And all of a sudden as he looked at the sword, he saw that the sword was transformed into this. The sword became a rosary. And the bishop said, the interpretation is so simple. For us to win the war against our enemies, we have to use spiritual weapons. The spiritual weapon that Jesus wants us to use is to go to his mother. If you go to daily mass, what did we hear 2 days ago? David was fighting against Goliath. Who won?
David.
Who was bigger?
Goliath.
Who was stronger?
Goliath.
Who had the bigger sword?
Goliath.
Who had more experience? On Relevant Radio, Father Simon said this guy was probably 11 feet tall. So Kobe Bryant would be a midget in comparison to this guy, huh? Who won?
David.
You know why? Because he had his slingshot and he had his little stones. Here is the modern slingshot. Amen?
Amen.
So if we're going to win the battle, we have to be with Mary. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. She's the mother of every one of us. And after that happened, the bishop started to promote the rosary among his priests, among the lay people, in the Boko Haram calmed down. And it was a Marian victory. So my friends, I'm going to be praying for you that you'll really be men of God. So you have to try to put into practice your morning prayer, your meal time, your meditation of the Word of God, your Mass, daily communion if possible, being merciful and giving mercy, being a missionary, go out to the whole world and preach the Word of God, and loving the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. If you do that, you're going to be great men of God, and you're going to be the future saints. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of St. Joseph and Mary, may God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you.